from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, all around the world on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. We are on demand on iTunes and the Game Nashville's Pod Center, so check all that out. All you have to do is search for Chasing Checkers in iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review a new episode every Friday afternoon, and you don't want to miss an episode of Chasing Checkers because you never know who you're going to miss. We've had Darryl Waltrip on the show this year. We've had Joey Logano on the show. We've had Martin Truex Jr., who's going to join us again next week. Today, though, David Reagan and Brad Keselowski will be on the program. And I lose count of Kurt Busch has been on. Kevin Harvick has been on. We have had a lot of drivers from NASCAR's Premier Series on with us here on Chasing Checkers. So Talladega this weekend. The NFL draft is in Nashville. We're going to talk about a different type of draft, though. With Talladega, and what to expect out of this new rules package at the Talladega Super Speedway. But first, they were off last week for Easter. Usually do that. They don't race on Easter Sunday, which I think is very cool. It's very tradition of the NASCAR drivers. But before that, they raced at Richmond, and Martin Truex Jr. got his first win of the season. It was his first win with Joe Gibbs Racing, and so that now puts him into the playoffs. And we talked a little bit about it last week, but Martin Truex Jr. wins the race. Joey Logano second. Clint Bowyer comes in third. Kevin Harvick fourth. And Denny Hamlin rounds out the top 10. But Martin Truex Jr. did his media availability ahead of the race at Talladega and was asked what it means to go into the off week with a win.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt good. It was nice to go into an off weekend with a win on your belt and, you know, be a winner for 2 weeks instead of one. But you know, I think just getting that first one of the season out of the way is always, it always seems to be the toughest one, you know, and especially this year with, you know, being on a new team and all that comes with it. It definitely was a big boost for our team and for all of us. So good confidence builder and, you know, definitely a good time to win. And hopefully we can continue to put ourselves in position.
I think Martin Truex Jr. just started a thing, winning the first race. I think he's going to win several more. We've had a lot of discussion and you'll hear this later on in the show, but you know, we heard Steve O'Donnell say with this new rules package that the hope was that there was going to be a couple teams that would figure it out right away and they would win. Well, then as time went on, you would see other drivers and other teams figure it out as well, and now I think you're starting to see that. Now, I know Joe Gibbs Racing had gotten some wins with Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, but now you have Martin Truex Jr. getting in on the action. Erik Jones, I think, will follow, and then you're going to have some other teams other than Penske and Gibbs that will be able to find wins. But Martin Truex Jr. last year, there was so much uncertainty with Furniture Row and what he was going to do, whether he was going to re-sign, sponsorships, things like that. And he still was in the Championship Four and had a chance to win the championship at Homestead. I think once again, he is going to emerge and be one of these guys. Could there be another big three with maybe some different players? Maybe Brad Keselowski is one of those, Joey Logano. But I think Truex is definitely going to have something to say about the championship before the season is over. And he got that started with a win at Richmond. Now, an interesting thing, you may recall, we brought this up on the show last week. We were talking about the battle that he and Joey Logano had back at Martinsville last year. And whether that, you know, that had all passed over. Now, this is after Richmond. This is right after the race. This is Truex on he and Joey Logano.
I think he drove, you know, he drove me as hard as he could without hitting me, which, you know, that's what I always expect. And that's kind of how I've always raced him. So, I guess it was fine. I don't know if we're cool, but, you know, I certainly have a lot of respect for Joey as a person and his accomplishments. And, I really appreciated the way he raced me tonight. I don't know if he tried to hit me or not. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did. I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm glad he didn't, though. I appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully we can race clean, you know, for the rest of the year.
So he said, I don't know if we're cool. We discussed this a little bit last week. But I thought it was interesting because at Talladega, Joey Logano was asked about Martin Truex. Those comments were brought up. And he was asked, okay, is everything good with you guys?
I've never had a problem with him. So I guess that's his question to answer. No, I've never. I mean, hey, we were racing there towards the end of the race. I didn't feel like I got there in time to be able to make any moves. I needed to get by Clint a few laps earlier. By the time I kind of found some speed in the car, I was a little bit too late, and I just couldn't get there in time to try to make a pass. The only chance I really had to try to make a pass was going into three, and that was it. So I needed a few laps to kind of set them up and catch some lap cars in the right spot and try to, you know, put them in the right spot to try to pass them. But I needed about, I don't know, instead of 400 laps, maybe 405 laps would have been the difference. But, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of times that we all can go back and forth and say the same thing. So, you know, it's, you know, overall, like I said, you know, to be upset with second place is a good spot to be in, as far as speed in our race cars and where we are in the season right now. So, you know, if we can just, you know, if we execute a little bit better, I think we're sitting here with four wins right now instead of one. So we just kind of, like I said, after Richmond, just clean up some of our mistakes throughout the whole team, myself included. And when we clean those up, we'll have, definitely more victories under our belt.
Joey Logano, of course, was asked about Martin Truex Jr. He says you'll have to ask him. You know, as far as he's concerned, we're good. And then, of course, he deflected the question and talked about the rest of the year. So I think, look, I've said this on the show before. I think rivalries are really good for the sport. Whether you have two drivers that just absolutely hate each other, and anytime they're near each other on the track, it's going to be a story. Or you have something like this where I think there's a mutual respect, but it's Truex is the type of guy that he likes to race clean. He likes to race hard, but he doesn't like to wreck people and he doesn't like to get wrecked. So that's a situation where it's like, all right, look, this is how I'm going to race you. I want you to race me the same way back. Joey Logano is a, I'm going to win at all costs. That's just what he's going to do. So I think it's finding the balance, so to speak, between these two. And of course, reporters doing their job. They asked Martin Truex, you and Joey cool?
I kind of know what to expect, and, you know, that's kind of that. So no grudge, really. Just, you know, maybe think about things a little bit differently when we get around each other.
And I think that that's smart. That's what you have to do. You know, I go back to Chicago last year, Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch racing hard, and they both were like, hey, you know what? We knew going into that how that was going to be. Larson was, I knew how Kyle was going to race me, and Kyle Busch said, I knew how Larson was going to race me, and it was fine. There was a wreck, no hard feelings, going for a win. That's a part of NASCAR, and that is the personalities that come out in this sport. So I think it's an interesting storyline to watch because those are two guys, as I have said, that could contend for the championship before the season is out. So speaking of the season thus far, we look at the standings, and Kyle Busch, of course, leads the way with three wins. Joey Logano has the one win, but if you look at points, he's second. Denny Hamlin has two wins, including the Daytona 500 in third. Kevin Harvick sits fourth. He's been very consistent, but has not found victory lane as of yet. Brad Keselowski, who we will talk to in just a little bit, is fifth with two wins, and Martin Truex Jr., who you just heard from, is sixth with one win. The rest of the top 10, Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, round out the top 10. Now, as I look towards the back half of that top 10, those are guys that I see coming on a little later in the year. Bowyer has run well as of late. I think Clint Bowyer has been pretty consistent. He's just one of those guys that hasn't found victory lane as of yet, but I feel like he's very, very close. And ahead of Talladega, he was asked about his season thus far.
Well, you know, I think the West Coast thing, the start of our season is just one or the other. Everybody, you know, works hard in the off season, puts in the due diligence, you know, and works hard to make sure that we hit, you know, the ground running. And sometimes that doesn't work. You know, last year with the Stewart-Haas cars, we did. We rolled through the West Coast swing, came out a handful of confidence, didn't really need to work on much. We had a lot of strengths, had a few weaknesses that we need to polish up, but we really were strong early and got that points base established early and rode that wave on through the summer months. This year, we missed, man. We weren't exactly where we wanted to be, where we thought we would be, where the plan was through the West Coast swing. But once you get back with a group like we have, a group of racers, you know, in the trenches at Stuart Haas Racing, you knew it wouldn't take long to get to the punch and get our cars right. And meeting after meeting after meeting, talk after talk, and the people. It all comes back to the people working tirelessly to get our cars turned around. And I think the results, the last month really proved it. Knocked on the door pretty hard myself, and Kevin's been running well. Eric's been running well. Our cars are good. It's exciting times right now. It's, that first group of tracks is behind us, and learned what we needed to learn and put it to good use.
Clint Bowyer is close to breaking through. And, while Stuart Haas Racing isn't having the win, they haven't had the wins like we saw last year, that they got a ton of wins. Kevin Harvick, of course, got a majority of those, but Bowyer had a couple. You had Almirola that got one as well, and then Kurt Busch, who was there at the time, he got them. But, I think Daniel Suarez taking over that 41 car, he's run well. Almirola has run all right. And then, of course, Harvick and Bowyer, I would watch out, because I think as they figure out the rules package and as things continue to grow, you will see those guys perform and be up towards the front and get those wins. We had Clint Bowyer on twice already this season, and he's like, we're close. We're very, very close. And I think, it could happen at Talladega this weekend. We'll hear from the drivers a little bit more about Talladega a little later in the show. But continuing that season so far, Joey Logano, as we mentioned, has already gotten a win. He got it at Las Vegas, and that's his only win so far. But they have run well, and he was had a chance to win some other ones. But here's Joey Logano in his season thus far.
I think we came out of the gate strong. the car has been fast. If I go through some of the races, Atlanta, we were in position to win with a loose wheel. I had to come down in the last run. California, we finished second, and we should have finished there. We weren't fast enough to win there. When I look at some other races, Bristol, we were in position to win, and strategy bit us a little bit. Richmond, you can argue, when we lost the lead, coming down pit road, was the difference of the losing control of the race, which could have been the win. There's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts throughout the first quarter of the season where, I feel like we were in position to win and we didn't capitalize. So, for me, I guess that only gives you a B, right? Because you got the speed and we didn't capitalize on the victories. But we have solid finishes because we have speed in our cars. We're sitting second in points. We're not far out of where we need to be. But it's tough to give those wins away when they're sitting right in front of you. But we got a long ways before the playoff starts, and I know I'm confident we're gonna clean that stuff up. It's not a big deal. I think we'll get to that point. It's just all about maintaining the speed that we have right now. That's the biggest piece, is the speed that the Penske cars have and even the Gibbs cars have. It's gonna be harder and harder to maintain that gap that we got. So we got to keep working hard to keep that as long as possible.
Joey Logano on his season thus far, and look, he's good at Talladega, and we know how unpredictable Talladega can be. It could be different with the new rules package, but we know that it's going to have the chaos that it always has. We'll talk to his teammate here in just a little bit, Brad Keselowski, but when we return, another former Talladega winner will join the show, David Reagan. He comes on Chasing Checkers here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game on the Game Nashville app as well. And as promised, told you we were going to have a couple of Talladega winners on, and one is on the line with us, David Reagan, hanging out here on Chasing Checkers. David, how's it going?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Spending the last day or two in the Carolinas before we head down to Talladega soon.
Well, I know Talladega is a special place for you. You're a past winner there, and uh, you You did it a few years ago in 2013. Yeah, 2013. The first win for Front Row Motorsports came at the Talladega Super Speedway. I know the rules package has changed a little bit since back then, but what do you remember about that day?
Yeah, that was a special win for me in my career, certainly for Bob Jenkins, our car owner. He lives right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, so Talladega is a racetrack that is pretty close to him, and a lot of his friends and family were there. It was rain delayed. The race was delayed for an hour or two. It was kind of dark when we restarted, and I think we restarted 6th, 7th, 8th, something like that. And I remember thinking, like, man, I would probably be happy just, you know, let's go home, because a lot of times late in the race, man, you have a lot of carnage, a lot of torn up race cars. We had had a pretty solid day, but things worked out great. We had a pretty fast Ford that day. I had a teammate that was dedicated to helping me out when we were making the right moves. I just happened to be the guy up front, and it was a special win. It was a win that I'll never forget, certainly.
You've always run well on these restrictor plate tracks, as they used to be. We'll get into those changes in a minute, but what is it about Talladega and Daytona that you're so comfortable with?
I enjoy going to something different. I think that's what makes our NASCAR schedule so unique, is we have super speedways like Daytona and Talladega. We've got short track, road courses, intermediates. You know, then you throw in a track like Indianapolis and Pocono that are unique. So every weekend it's a little different, and Talladega is very intense. It's obviously, you know, fast. It's exciting. You do have those huge wrecks, which that's just a part of racing that close together, that fast at that type of racetrack. So I've been on both sides of it. I've been on the wrecker, you know, in the garage, having a DNF, and I've been in victory lane, and you have to keep that open mindset that you don't know what's going to happen. You can't control certain things, but I think the racing is very intense, and it's a lot of fun. So I embrace it and I enjoy it.
So you look at your team and where you guys are at right now. I know, how have you adapted to this new rules package? Because we didn't see it at Daytona. That was the last time of the traditional restrictor plate. But how do you think you guys have been able to tackle this thing?
Well, we really have struggled at some of the mile and a half racetracks. We've had moments where we've had top 15 finishes. We've had good qualifying efforts on Friday. But we haven't been able to really understand how this rules package races in dirty air, how to adjust on the car. We've made some adjustments to our setups, to our chassis, to the way we assemble our race cars. So we've definitely learned a lot. I think there's been a couple of teams that have hit it and have been just fine right out of the gate. They've obviously won all the races, the Joe Gibbs team and the Team Penske Fords. But I think other teams are slowly catching up, and it's going to be an exciting summer when you see some other teams finding victory lane. So we've been one of those cars at Front Row Motorsports where we really haven't hit it right just out of the gate. We've had to work for it.
Well, and I heard Steve O'Donnell say, I believe it was last week, that that's the hope, that you get through the first handful of races with this rules package. You know, there was, you mentioned Gibbs and Penske and them getting the wins, but you're going to have other teams that start to figure it out. And then, as you said, the summer goes on, you'll have more race winners. It feels like that it's just one of those things that nobody really knew what they were going to get. And you just kind of have to learn as you go.
Yeah, and there's obviously models that we can implement on our simulation to understand what the car is going to do, how it's going to react. But until you get to the racetrack and you see firsthand, there's always going to be, you know, certain parts of those simulated models and predictions that have a margin of error. So, like I said, some teams have hit it just right. They know how to tune on their car to get it to drive better, and some teams have struggled some. So, you know, we've had some good runs with myself, Michael McDowell, our other teammate, Matt Tiff, hit and miss, but we haven't been as consistent as we'd like to be.
So what do you expect out of Talladega? I mean, it's a place that, we, as we mentioned, you've won at, that you're used to running the old restrictor plate. It's going to be a little bit different. Is there still some of that, you know, you just don't really know what to expect?
Yeah, I think everybody needs to tune in, certainly on Sunday on Fox, but Friday and Saturday will be interesting to see how the cars draft in practice, how we qualify. We have over 100 more horsepower than what we've generally had at speedways, but we also have more drag and downforce in our bodies. So some of that will equal out, but that's going to make passing, maneuvering around other cars. The air is going to be more turbulent, but we'll have more horsepower to maybe sustain runs. So I think you're going to see a different level of intensity, maybe some more pushing and shoving if we can get better runs. And again, it's all speculation until we hit the racetrack on Friday.
David Reagan on the line with us, driver of the number 38 Shriners Hospital for Children Ford Mustang for Front Row Motorsports. And I bring up your sponsor, Shriners Hospitals for Children. Just tell me a little bit about that partnership and how you got involved with them, because it's pretty cool to, you know, anytime you can do something for children in the Children's Hospital, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, the Shriners Hospitals for Children, they're a world-class organization that takes care of young kids that have orthopedic needs, that maybe have been burnt, spinal cord injuries, an issue at birth, or maybe even an injury in their young life. And it really, it gives them a new outlook on life, not only physically, but mentally as well. You go to a hospital that the Shriners have, and it doesn't really feel like a hospital. There's 22 of them around the U.S., and they really help young kids that might have a prosthetic leg, or they can't walk right, a spinal cord problem, or maybe even been burned. They let them live their childhood and realize the potential as they grow older and live a normal life. So I've been an advocate for their hospital network over the last 10 years. I am a Shriner. I'm a member of the fraternity, and we actually have our largest gathering, a big conference, in Nashville later on this summer. So they'll have a big Shriners parade and a lot of Shriner stuff going on in the Nashville area later on this summer in July. So it's a great organization. I love to try to spread some awareness, raise some money for the hospitals. And so they have a partnership with our race team that we bring some patients out, have some of the donors, different things to raise money and raise awareness for the hospital. So it's a great cause, and the car looks cool.
Very cool that you'll be here in the Nashville area. And speaking of, that was kind of the perfect lead into my next question of you guys will, NASCAR will be here for the awards banquet at the end of the season, but we have a racetrack at the fairgrounds that, you know, we're trying to get some NASCAR racing back out. I don't know if you ever raced at the fairgrounds. I assume you raced at the other speedway out in Lebanon, but just what would it mean for the sport to be able to come back and have a footprint in Nashville?
Well, Nashville is such a strong market for racing in general. I actually lived for short term in Nashville. When I got out of high school, I drove for the Sadler Brothers race team,
yeah,
and for Wayne Day and the 31W race team that races out of Goodlettsville, Tennessee. So I've got a lot of fond memories of the Nashville area. I made my first ever Xfinity start and ARCA series start driving for those teams. And so it's a hotbed for NASCAR, not only crew members and drivers, but fans. And the legendary short track there in downtown would be awesome to come back and race at the fairgrounds. I have been there and raced before. So it would be something, I think, in the next couple of years, I think you'll see some more traction. It's something that you just can't snap your finger and have happen immediately, but I think the right people are talking about it. And if the fans really can voice their opinion and say, hey, we want to see this, I think in the next couple of years, you'll see some NASCAR-sanctioned events come back to Nashville.
Well, I know it would be really cool, and with the schedule changes for 2020, and then we know 2021 could have even more schedule changes. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, you're going to start and end the regular season at Daytona, and then you have a ton of different races that are a part of the playoffs. It's pretty cool to see NASCAR changing it up.
Yeah, I think it's something that's been overdue. I think that it's good to make some adjustments to the schedule from time to time. It allows people in different markets to attend races that maybe they couldn't have earlier. It gives the tracks a different opportunity to market and sell their tickets and for sponsors and race fans. And I think it's great to do that. We've got awesome racetracks on our schedule, so it's good to mix it up a little bit. And I'm a fan of it. I wish they would have done it 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, David, I appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend at Talladega.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us on.
All right, that's David Reagan, driver of the number 38 Front Row Motorsports Ford. Heard the Shriners Hospital for Children on the car this weekend. Past Talladega winner. Look, he's good on the restricted play, or I keep calling him that. The big tracks. What do we call them now? I think they'll always be plate tracks, but he's good there. We'll just see how it all shakes out with the new rules package. I mean, are we going to have the chaos that we always have at Talladega? I think that that's going to be something that everyone is going to be paying attention to. And we will ask another former Talladega winner when we come back. Brad Keselowski, he joins the show. That's next on Nashville's Best Sports Talk. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. As promised, we go from one Talladega winner to a five-time Talladega winner and bring in Brad Keselowski, driver of the number two Penske Ford. Brad, what's going on?
Doing well, Chase. Thanks for having me on. Hope everything's well in Nashville.
Well, we're having a big time. We're excited about you guys coming to town at the end of the season. I know there's a long way to go, but that was a huge announcement that NASCAR in some capacity is coming to Nashville. And I know you guys, I've talked to a few of the drivers, Boyer's ready to party, and I know you guys are excited.
I'm excited, but my wife is thrilled. I got to tell you what, I think she's already started shopping for the right cowgirl boots, but we're going to have a good time and certainly live it up and enjoy that week when it comes. And hopefully along with it, one day we'll be able to get back to running the fairgrounds racetrack.
I would love to see that. And I know that a lot of people are working on that. And you know, there's different legislations and things that you have to go through. I know I saw you race out at the other speedway, but to have NASCAR, whether it's Xfinity Trucks, Cup Series, to have you guys back in Nashville would be huge with this city on the rise. And I know you as a driver would love to see it as well.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's a lot of heritage between NASCAR and Nashville that's shared. And I think we need to reignite that and keep it going and keep that legacy going. So it's good to see it kind of come back together, like you said, with the banquet, but a race would even take it to another level.
So Talladega this weekend, Brad, as I mentioned, a five-time winner there, but I want to go back to your first one in 2009. It's one of the wildest finishes that I think I remember, but for driving for James Finch, you get the win over Carl Edwards. What was that moment like for you to get your first cup win?
Well, first off, it's hard to believe that was 10 years ago.
I know.
This weekend, you know, as we go to Talladega this weekend and race on Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern time, it really is hitting me as I'm, you know, thinking about that, how much that day meant. It helped kind of steer my career on the path that it's on now to be able to drive for someone like Roger Penske and have an opportunity to really compete for race wins and championships year over year, race over race. And I'm so thankful for that. But in that moment, of course, I didn't know that. I was just trying to win that race. And in some ways, I'm still in disbelief, and in the moment, I was definitely in disbelief. It was really an incredible experience.
Brad Keselowski on the line with us, and you have five wins there. Probably don't know what to expect as much going into this weekend because of the new rules package, and this is something that your team has been able to figure out fairly quickly. You have a couple wins. Joey's won. Blaney's been running well. Why has this package just been easy for you guys to figure out?
Well, I don't know if the rules package itself has been easy for us to figure out, but I can tell you that when Ford made the move from the Fusion to the Mustang, I thought that was a pretty good step up for us in terms of competitiveness, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. And so in saying that, that obviously came at the start of this year where we switched from the Ford Fusion to the Ford Mustang, and it's been really, really, I don't want to call it a surprise, but a real pleasant addition because we thought it was going to be good, but and it's good if not better than we thought. So that's been a big deal for us.
And do you think, I go back to last year, you won three in a row, get you into the playoffs and won some playoff races. Joey obviously wins the championship, but when you went on that three-peat, was that kind of the start of the momentum we saw for Team Penske that has now carried over into this season?
I think it did give them some momentum for sure on the car development side and the engineering to push the cars to be faster because, quite honestly, up until that point in time in the season, we just didn't have the speed in order to be competitive enough to win races. And so when we started to hit that momentum, I think it really energized or ignited our whole group and pushed them even further. And some good things all came together at once to even build off that a little bit deeper. So certainly something I'm very proud of, and I would say for sure it helped everyone.
So I asked David Reagan this question earlier because he's a former Talladega winner. With this new rules package and not the traditional restrictor plate like we've all been used to, what do you expect this weekend at Talladega?
Well, I mean, the race can go a number of different directions, and it's very hard to predict, like you said. I could see the race going in a direction where you know, effectively, you'll see the cars draft like they used to and not really be any different. I can see it going in a direction where the cars are tandem draft, where the two cars kind of stick on each other. And there's anything in between. There's a lot of unknowns here, and I don't think anyone can really tell you with all out certainty what's going to happen.
Do you ever think about, you know, records and, you know, if you win, you tied Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon for a second for on the wins list at Talladega. Is that something that you think about a lot in this stage in your career?
Yeah, sometimes you can't help but think about it. I get subtle reminders every once in a while. So even if I wasn't thinking about it myself, I get nudges like that yeah. from you, Chase, and it's all good. I'm just teasing on you. And so it comes up without a doubt from time to time. And, you know, I'm humbled and proud to be in that position. But I think, you know, if I get too caught up at looking at the stat book, I'm not going to focus on the things I need to do to actually win the race. And so I don't actually study that stuff intentionally, but sometimes it finds me, and that's okay.
I'm always curious, Brad Keselowski on the line with us, of, you know, you got the second race of the year, you won that. So that pretty much punches your ticket into the playoffs. You've now backed that up with another win. Does that, how much pressure does that take off of you and the race team knowing, okay, playoffs, we're going to get in there. We obviously want to get more playoff points and seeding and things like that. But does it change the strategy a little bit that you can maybe gamble a little bit more to try and win more races?
Yeah, it definitely changes the strategy. It puts us in a position, at least in my mind, where we race a little bit differently. We honestly race a touch more aggressively. Because we know we don't have to worry about solidifying points to make our way in the playoffs. We can do it just off of our race wins. And I think that puts our team in a spot of not only confidence from having won a race, but also puts them in a spot to where they can really push their own boundaries, push their own limits. And really, if you look, you think of progress comes from, you know, pushing your own boundaries and sometimes failing and learning from it. And that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I kind of think of it like working out. You know, sometimes you work out a little bit too hard and you get sore and you probably regress. But a lot of times you work out and you build bigger muscles, and those bigger muscles help you further down the road. And that's what I think of in this position that we're in right now.
Brad, as I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of Brenda Jackson, Dale Jr. and Kelly's mom. You race for Junior Motorsports. I know you and Dale are really good friends. What kind of impact did she have on you and in your career?
I have a lot of respect for that entire family. It's a hard thing to see. I mean, obviously she had been sick for a while, and you know, in some ways, you know, it's really tough. In some ways, you know, you kind of digest it and kind of think about the good times that were had. And she was really one of those people in my life that, you know, helped me out in some tough situations earlier in my career, and I'm thankful for that. I hate to see her pass, but I'm, you know, trying not to kind of get hung up on the sad part and be thankful for the good parts.
Absolutely. Hey, Brad, I appreciate the time this morning, and best of luck at Talladega this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Chase. All the best.
Brad Keselowski, former Cup Series champion and a five-time winner at Talladega. Appreciate him taking the time and joining us. Next week, we have Martin Truex Jr. that is scheduled to join the show, as well as Ty Dillon. So NASCAR doing a great job serving up some of these drivers for us here on Chasing Checkers. Talladega this weekend. When we return here on the show, we'll get you set up, what the rules mean, what you can expect, and much, much more here on Chasing Checkers on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, all around the world on the Game Nashville app. On demand on iTunes as well. Search Chasing Checkers. Rate, subscribe, and review. And thegamenashville.com inside the Pod Center. We have a new episode that comes out every Friday afternoon and airs Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 8. Right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Racing from Talladega this weekend. Appreciate David Reagan and Brad Keselowski for joining the show. You got their thoughts to expect the unexpected because of this new rules package. We've had lesser horsepower and all that. One thing that we see at Talladega a lot is wrecks. The big one, of course, is something that we always look at because of the draft and the just being so close together. You're going to see a lot of wrecks. But I think a lot of people with this new rules package and the lesser horsepower at some of the intermediate tracks were expecting a lot of the same chaos. So a couple of the drivers were asked why there have been less wrecks this year. Here's Martin Truex.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I definitely expected more of it. I would say I expected probably the packs to be a little bit tighter, you know. I still think there's some racetracks where we might see, you know, tighter groups of cars, just depending on grip level and night races, things like that. But I think generally it's just, you know, handling has been a bigger factor than I expected it to be. And so the field kind of gets separated, and I think that's part of it.
And I think a lot of us thought that they would be more together and you know, beating and banging and things like that. But that hasn't been the case. And, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that fans like seeing, you know, the side-by-side racing and things like that. But, you know, cautions and wrecks and delays and things like that, that's what's going to turn people off. So, you know, the fact that, you know, you do have a little bit of chaos like you would have at a short track or Talladega or something like that, that's cool. That's fine. But I'm glad that it has worked out the way that it has, because you've seen actual racing. You've seen less wrecking, more racing. Clint Bowyer on why there have been less wrecks.
The answer is this. I don't think you can plan or you can ever look at a... I thought that the 550 package would create exactly what it did on the restarts and things like that. I thought the intensity would be very, very strong on the restarts. On the mile and a half in particular, we all thought that, you know, we would be bunched up. And anytime you bunch cars up, just like we see at Daytona and Talladega, that 9 times out of 10, that leads to some sort of carnage on the racetrack. I think the downforce aspect of the package that we're running with our cars this year is a big part of that. I think the tire is probably even a bigger part of that. The cars drive really well, and I think the point's proven when you put them 4 or 5 wide on restarts at a mile and a half track, wide open, and still don't crash. They're pretty stable underneath of you. So, you know, yes, I am a little bit surprised at how well some of the tracks, some of these restarts, and some of the crazy, chaotic scenarios that we've seen, because they've been there, you know, hasn't resulted in some wrecks, because I guarantee I've looked at a few of them ahead of me out there on the West Coast when I wasn't running very well and saw some things in front of me where I thought, well, this is going to hurt. And it never did. But I think a big part of that is how stable the cars are and you know, the tires are very predictable.
That's kudos to NASCAR for putting this package together, building the cars the way they have. We'll see what the Gen 7 looks like when it comes out in 2021. You know, they're changing the car again. But I think, like I said, I think it's a good thing that we haven't had as much. Now, that leads us to this weekend at Talladega and how unpredictable that it is. And one question will be, how will the draft work? Is it going to be the pack racing that we've seen for the last few years? Or could it be the return of the tandem draft like we saw a few years ago at Daytona and Talladega, where it's 2x2? Joey Logano was asked about the draft.
I don't know how the draft's going to work this week, you know, but I do feel like as far as the bump draft is something that I've worked on a lot in Xfinity cars or even when we tandemed, I felt like I was able to do a good job at being able to latch on and stay attached for a long time when we were able to do that. So I kind of hope it gets to that point, because I feel like it falls into a strength of mine. You know, but we'll have to kind of wait and see. I think this practice is going to be interesting to see if anyone can lock on to bumpers and go faster. You know, with that big spoiler, there's so much what ifs. We don't really know. So I think after you get through this practice here, we're going to really have a general idea somewhat of how we're going to go fast, how this race is going to play out, and what we need in our race cars. You know, and then I think at that point, it's we'll at least have something to go to work on. But, you know, Todd and I were talking about it before we got here. And it's like, well, this can happen. It's like 4 or 5 scenarios that that can't happen, and on how this race is going to play out. And until we get on the racetrack, we don't know. That's just the facts of it. So we'll figure it out here in a few minutes.
And he was referencing the first practice because we taped the show early on Friday, and they were about to go out for the first practice. And that's something that Martin Truex Jr. echoed when he was speaking to the media, that he said that, you know, that you'll have an idea after the first practice of what to expect.
I think we'll get a good idea, but, you know, you can't, you know, race conditions are always different. You know, the race, the wind is on the line, a lot changes, you know, the energy gets going, and, you know, guys are willing to take a lot more risk. So I think you'll get a good idea of it today, but, you know, Sunday has opportunities to be, you know, a little bit different, obviously.
Now, one thing that has come out during practice is at least 18 cars have topped 200 miles an hour. They have had the pack racing draft with a lot of the manufacturers working together. You've had a couple of outsiders here and there. So it's been interesting to kind of follow along on Twitter and the different reporters that are there, that, you know, we're seeing a little bit of what we're used to, and then guys are trying different things to kind of see how that is going to work. So teamwork is going to be interesting, because you've always had the race teams that work together. The Joe Gibbs drivers work with Joe Gibbs drivers and things like that. But at Daytona, we saw the Toyotas just kind of all team up, and you had different alliances that took place. Martin Truex Jr. was asked about how he expects the teamwork to work at Talladega.
It definitely could change this weekend. You know, I think there's already a lot of talk about tandem possibly being able to happen. And if it does, and if it's the way to go, then, you know, teamwork certainly is kind of goes to a whole other level where you have to kind of commit to just one guy. You know, as far as Toyota kind of starting the teamwork deal back at Daytona a couple years ago, you know, I think how it's changed is that everybody's, you know, caught on to it manufacturer-wise. And for us at Toyota, there's a lot less Toyotas than anything else. So it's changed a lot for us, I would say more than anyone. So strength in numbers, I think, has been, you know, kind of against us. But in general, the manufacturers have just, you know, really worked hard at getting their teams all together and, you know, trying to do the best job they can to get their manufacturing victory lane.
So I think we'll learn a lot over the course of the weekend, because, you know, this is the second restrictor, well, I call it that, the second super speedway race that they've had this year. The first one at Daytona was the old restrictor plate. So you'll get this out of the way. You go to Daytona in July and then back to Talladega in the fall. And so you'll probably see it all change. You'll see the strategies change for each different race as they learn a little bit more about this package. Now, one thing that I think is always interesting with a track like Daytona or Talladega is, what is the best strategy when you're coming towards the end of the race? Do you want to be the number one, or do you want to be number two and have a chance at the slingshot and to get past the lead driver? Clint Bowyer was asked, would you rather be out front or be second as you're going into the last lap?
Let me tell you, it's always better to be out front. Doesn't matter where you're, Talladega or Texas or anywhere in between. Out front's where everybody wants to be. Out front's the hardest place to get to, and out front's the hardest place to stay. So many things can happen on a last lap at one of these plate tracks like this. You have to be, you know, the first guy. Yes, we've seen the videos of, you know, myself even, where I passed, you know, Jeff Burton coming to the line. My teammate Kevin Harvick, you know, made a pass coming to the line. Those scenarios can happen. And as long as the caution doesn't come out before then, can happen. But, you know, there's, like I said, there's so many different scenarios that could take that win from you. If you were in second place thinking you're in a catbird seat, just chomping at the bit to slingshot by him coming off of four or on the front straightaway, and because of a caution or something like that, you never get that opportunity. So out front's always a place to be. Doesn't matter where you're at.
I'm with Clint on that one. I think I'd rather be out front and let everybody be behind me and looking in the mirror. You know, that's what I'd rather do. I think that's a fine strategy to have. And, of course, I think that's how it's going to be. Now, look, you guys have heard Clint Bowyer on this show. He's a personality, and he kept interrupting, I think it was Bob Pockrass, on a question. It Of course, drinking had to come into play.
If you woke up every day of your life and knew what the future hold, that'd be a pretty boring life. That's what's cool about Talladega. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people wake up in the morning wishing the night before didn't happen at Talladega. Nonetheless, you know, I hope my hangover's Monday morning celebrating a Sunday.
There you go. Clint Bowyer wants the hangover Sunday morning to celebrate a victory. And look, he's going to be a player this weekend. Just the way he's been running and the way he always runs on the super speedways. I think he could be someone to watch. But the thing about Talladega, and especially with all these unknowns, it could be half the field. You never know. We'll break it all down for you again next week. My thanks to David Reagan. My thanks to Brad Keselowski. Again, Ty Dillon and Martin Truex Jr. scheduled to join the show next week here on Chasing Checkers. Enjoy the racing from Dega and subscribe on iTunes. Just search Chasing Checkers in the podcast store and also at thegamenashville.com. under Pod Centers. It's Chasing Checkers on Nashville's best sports talk. We are ESPN 102.5 The Game.